Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When we speak in this lesson of the Christian worker, we're not referring primarily to the work that is done by a person that is peculiar to a Christian, such as soul winning and relieving the needy and other good works, but to a Christian as he works in his occupation by means of which he earns his livelihood. Whether he is self-employed or employed by another, a businessman, a factory worker, or whatever, we're talking about that person who works and how he should conduct himself in his work because he is a Christian. The lesson concerns matters that are very daily, very practical, very applicable in living the Christian life. We are to be Christ-like at all times, whether we're at home, at worship, at work, at leisure, at play. We're stressing being a Christian on the day-to-day job of earning a living. Contrary to the thinking of some, work is a blessing. After God created man and placed him in the Garden of Eden, God gave him work to do. He was to dress and keep the garden, Genesis 2 and verse 15. Even in the state of sinlessness, even before sin and temptation are recorded, man had work to do. Work is not a part of the curse that God placed upon humanity because of sin. Work preceded sin. It is true that after man sinned, the curse of God made his work somewhat more difficult. In Genesis 3 we read, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." But work was given as a blessing, not a curse because of sin. There's an old adage that says, "The idle mind is the devil's workshop." Those who have lived very long can readily acknowledge the truthfulness of this sentiment, seeing it in their own lives as well as the lives of others. People are happiest when they are busy doing something worthwhile. Work is the means of providing the physical needs for ourselves and those who are our responsibility, as well as those who are less fortunate. For God provides all we need. But he does this by providing us the ability and the opportunity to work and to earn our daily bread. One blessing of work that is difficult to describe but is well known by every good worker, and that is the blessing of satisfaction over a job well done. Paul instructed people to work. "For we hear that there are some which walk disorderly among you, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and eat their own bread." 2 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. And he prefaced that instruction with these words, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." 2 Thessalonians 4 and verse 10. God is displeased with those who will not work. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. To the Thessalonians he said, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you." Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit." We can conclude no other way but to look upon work as one of the benefits toward man, as determined by the wisdom of God. Now in the Bible we have examples of good men who worked. For instance, Paul wrote to 2 Thessalonians, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be charitable to any of you. But because we have not power, and to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us, Paul worked. Paul worked as a tent maker, that he might be an example for them to follow. God and his Son Jesus Christ are examples of work. Jesus said, "My Father worketh even until now, and I work," John 5 and verse 17. And as we scan the pages of history and note those men who have so greatly benefited their fellow men, we see they were workers, like Dr. Jonas Salk, Alexander Graham Bell, Madame Curie, Henry Ford, Louis Pasteur, men who are idle dreamers and never do anything, never tackle a task, never put themselves into the harness of honest labor, will not accomplish much for themselves, for others, and certainly not for God. Solomon cited the ant as an example to follow regarding work. In Proverbs 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Friend, let us take Solomon's advice and consider the ant. In spite of the smallness of the ant works. Many jobs it cannot do, but it does what it can. It can't carry a pile of grain, but it can move that pile one grain at a time. The ant is an example of perseverance. Did you ever sweep your foot over an ant hill? Immediately the ant begins to build anew and does not stop until the job is done. They are seemingly tireless. The ants teach us cooperation also. They work harmoniously together. This seems to be more than some men can do. When a load is too heavy for one ant, others come and assist. Often you will see ants fighting, but not each other. They only fight intruders into their midst. The ant takes advantage of its opportunities and provides for the future. We are taught not to be anxious for the morrow. God has provided us a way to escape that anxiety, namely, make provision with what he has given. God provides for the future much like he provides for the present, namely, through our labors and proper stewardship. While there is a danger in making material security our goal in life to the neglect of other matters, we ought not squander what God provides on the present to the neglect of the future. We shall either die or live, and in either case we must make ready. Yes, the ant is a guide for us in many ways regarding work. As Christians, we have special duties in the realm of work. God gave a law to the Israelites. He said, "Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be a sin unto thee." The Lord was simply teaching those who worked deserved their pay. They were not to be oppressed. To do so would be to provoke God's displeasure. God has given a similar teaching to those who are Christians in Ephesians 6. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Those who serve, those in the employ of others, are subservient to the authority of others and are to follow the instructions given them and to cooperate with their superiors on the job and to do a good job. Some growl and complain and grumble every time they're told to do anything. But the Christian will go about his task with cheerfulness, giving heed to what those in charge tell him to do. He does not do this because of fear, but because he respects their authority. One who has respect for God will respect whatever authority God teaches him to respect. And the motive in the heart of the Christian for being a good worker is not simply to please his manager or receive congratulations of men. He has a nobler calling with which he complies. He is a follower of Christ. He works because he is serving Christ, not men. He does what he does from the heart with all of his might because that is what Christ wants him to do. This is why the Christian worker is, or at least ought to be, the best worker on any job. He is working for the Lord. Now, these thoughts ought to provoke each of us to ask if we are being obedient to Christ in our work. You may be a lawyer, or a doctor, or a mechanic, a teacher, an engineer, or nurse, or whatever you are you diligent? Do you realize a job well done is a job well done for God? After all, the reputation you build or destroy, it affects the body of Christ. Is Christ pleased with the way we do our jobs? Are we slothful and negligent? Are our attitudes wholesome? We must realize we're not just earning a living. We are doing that, but more. We're serving the Lord as we earn a living. We ought to be known as an honest worker, responsible, dependable, always doing our best at the moment, whether under the watchful eye of an overseer or not, like the ant. There are rewards for those who work like that. We not only earn our pay, but we have the satisfaction within that we have done as we ought, and the Lord will reward those who live after that fashion. Paul had words to the masters, those who have authority, those who are the bosses, if you please. They're not only to do their job with the same high-class operation as the instructions given to the workers, but they have the added responsibility because they have more responsibility. The greater the authority, the greater the opportunity to display Christ in your life. The master is to treat his employees and those who work under his authority with Christian respect. He is not to threaten them because he has a master who also sees how he does. A good manager does not intimidate and take advantage of others. He will render them their just due. The Lord will repay the workers, and he will repay the masters. Each shall give an account before God for how he performed his particular duties. There is no respect of persons with him. That means God will judge each one by the standard that he has ordained, and God expects everyone to live and to work in a Christ-like fashion. But finally, God wants all men to labor in his vineyard. John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus did the work God gave him to do. In John 17:4 he said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We're to follow in the steps of Christ as laborers in his vineyard. We often sing the hymn that says, I will work. I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. Friend, let us be true laborers, as is another hymn that we sing, to the work. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.